And now we're going to turn to the candidates in the spring election for Kenosha and Kenosha County. We're going to look at the city council districts. We're going to begin with District 2. The candidates are John Fox and Dan Gashke. By coin toss, we'll be asking the first question of John Fox. Candidates will be making closing statements of 1 minute, not opening statements. And I'm going to give a brief biography of each of the candidates. John Fox is a lifelong resident of the city of Kenosha. He has resided in the 2nd District for 32 years. He's retired from AMC Chrysler. He retired in 2010 after 31 years. He's a member of UAW Local 72. He's a past small business owner in downtown Kenosha. He's involved with hands-on activities in the downtown and harborside areas, graffiti removal, mural installations, and Second Saturday. He says he's been active in the community for 25 years with groups such as Kenoshans Against Medical Waste Incinerators, Save Our Park, redevelopment in the Lincoln and Frank School neighborhoods, and citizen participation in the Master Park Planning meetings. The other candidate, Dan Gashke, tells us that he was born and raised in southeastern Wisconsin, the Milwaukee area, and chose to move to Kenosha in 2010. He is married to Emily and has been for about 12 years. He earned an undergraduate degree, a Bachelor of Arts, and a Master of Arts in graduate school. He's the co-owner of Kinder Music with his wife, Emily. It's a music-based child enrichment and development program. The first question is going to go to Mr. Fox. Mr. Fox, what would you do for the District 2, and why are you running?
I'm running because I've been involved in the district for the last 25 years. I'm a small business owner, as you said earlier. I care about the district. I've always been involved in various things. I'm running as alderperson to represent the residents of the district, the business owners in the district, representing them as a whole. I'm a lot of ideas to do in the second district. I'm there. I'm committed to it. I've shown it, especially in the past 5 years since I've retired. I've been involved in the downtown area a lot. As you said, Second Saturday promotions, working with the businesses down there. I created a street fair at one point, Miracle on 58th Street Fair. Bringing the Harborside and downtown businesses together to promote their wares, and it was a great success.
Thank you. Mr. Gashke, what would you do to represent District 2 and improve the district, and why are you running?
Well, ultimately, the reason I'm running is because I love to help people. I love to help people help themselves. And so what I'd like to do on the city government level is to be able to help provide an atmosphere in our city so that people can pursue the goals that they would like to pursue, so that they can accomplish the goals that they've set out to accomplish, and so that I can come alongside of them and help them in any way that I can. Ultimately, what I'd like to do is represent the needs of the residents, those who live in our community. I'd also like to represent the needs of the business owners. Many of the business owners don't live in the district, but they have a vested interest in what happens there. And the second district is unique in that we have a large proportion of residents and businesses. I'm somebody that provides respect to all people. I actually value a diversity of perspectives and opinions. Differences of opinion are actually a good thing, in my opinion, so that we can ultimately arrive at the best solution to questions and things that we're working on. And I'd like to be able to provide growth for our district, both in the residential neighborhoods and in the business district.
We've had a lot of questions from citizens about quality of life in Kenosha. One of those concerns has been transportation. What would you do and foresee in terms of the future of the city with respect to transportation, not only in your own district, but for the entire city? Mr. Gashke.
Well, many of the residents in the 2nd District actually do rely upon public transportation. And so I do think that it would be wise for us to analyze our current routes, see if they are serving the needs of those who are actually utilizing the transportation system on a regular basis. I know that money is always an issue, whether we have the funds to be able to do this or not, but I do think it would be wise for us to explore the options of expanding our routes later into the evening to accommodate work schedules, and even perhaps expanding into the weekends a little bit if possible to be able to accommodate shopping, worship, and other activities on the weekend.
Mr. Fox, your response.
As Dan said, a lot of the I have a lot of similar agree. I agree with Dan on a lot of the things that he said. I know that there is a need for expansion to go out west. I've seen requests from people to have the bus hours extended for those who are living out west to get back and forth from work. Very important issue there.
I'd like to move on then and also talk about other quality of life issues, including the condition of streets in your area and the condition of housing and other structures. Is that an issue in your district that you need to be concerned about? And if so, what would you do, Mr. Fox?
We have a lot of streets in disrepair in the second district, especially in the older parts. I think the budget needs to be analyzed, and I do believe that there is going to be money allocated within the next 2 years to correct the repairs that are needed. Housing market, or the housing in the area, some of it, because it's an older district, we do need some care there. I worked in the Frank School and in Lincoln neighborhood districts at one point when I was working for Neighborhood Housing Services, and we brought back those neighborhoods through the programs that were developed through Neighborhood Housing Services, and I guess we need to look into that again and possibly help those neighborhoods out again.
Mr. Gashke.
You're right. Many of our roads are in disrepair, and the fact of the matter is the situation that we're in didn't happen overnight, and it's not something that we're going to be able to solve overnight. Generally speaking, my philosophy of leadership is to have an end goal in mind and then to take incremental steps to be able to achieve that goal. So if we apply that to roads, I think that we need to prioritize which roads are in the worst condition and make those our top priority to fix those right away. And that would be based upon the condition and the usage as well, how heavily those roads are used. Then I think we also need to have a schedule in place for the next 5-10 years so that we know which roads are going to be fixed when. I'm a big fan of preventative maintenance, and I actually think that that's a good way of saving the taxpayers' money by making repairs ahead of time, by sending out bids to contractors early so that we can get the best prices on the road repairs, and to be able to fix the roads before they are in complete disrepair. So again, having an end goal in mind, taking incremental steps to get there. When it comes to housing, I live in one of Kenosha's old neighborhoods, and I live in an old house myself, and I love the old neighborhoods of Kenosha. But that being said, the diversity of the second district includes some very new housing developments as well. Condominiums and other apartment buildings that are newer. And so there are areas in our district that would benefit from the city helping to encourage growth, helping to eliminate blight. And I do think that those would be important steps to improve and maintain the quality of life in my district.
Thank you. Now I'll ask the statements to be made by the candidates. We're going to go in reverse order, and the first closing statement will be made by Mr. Gashke. You have 1 minute.
I absolutely love the diversity of the second district. We have people from different socioeconomic backgrounds, different ethnic backgrounds, different lifestyles. And to me, I see that as a great benefit. I chose to move to Kenosha because I see the great potential of Kenosha. I chose to live in the second district so that I could be closest to the things that are my favorite part of our city. To me, a downtown area is the heart and the soul, the personality of a community. And so, in my opinion, what is good for the downtown area is good for the entire community as a whole. And I will also not only represent the needs of my downtown district, but of the city as a whole, by representing the residents, by demonstrating respect towards all people and perspectives, and as a small business owner, helping to spur other businesses to expand and grow, and new businesses to be able to come into our community.
Thank you. Mr. Fox.
To be the elder person of the second district, I would be there for the individuals. I would be there for the businesses. It's in my heart. I care about the district. I'm not very well at question answer, but it's all in my head, and it's in my heart to give you the best at what I can be for you. And hopefully you will support me.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And now we're going to move on to our next district, which is District 3, where there is a contest. The candidates are Jan Michalski. I pronounced your name correctly, I hope. Jan Michalski and Kyle Flood. Sorry, Jan.
Sorry. Used to it.
The coin toss was won by Jan, so he'll get the first question. But let me tell you a little bit about him and Kyle. Jan tells me that he's married to Diane, lifelong resident of Kenosha, a 19-year resident of the 3rd District. Earned a BA at UW-Madison and a Master of Business Administration at UW-Parkside. He's been an INS volunteer for the homeless for 15 years. He says he's been endorsed by Uptown businesses and other district businesses and has been endorsed by Labor. Mr. Flood tells me he was born and raised in Kenosha. He's 21 years old and has lived in the 3rd District twice, once in Allendale and currently near Uptown. He was the youngest person ever elected to the Kenosha Unified School Board and has served there for 3 years. Begin by asking Mr. Michalski, why are you running for alder person from the District 3, and what do you think needs to be done there?
I'm running because I care about the district and the city. There are a lot of things that need to be done there. There have been things that I have worked on as an incumbent, obviously, some of them have not been completed, and they are an ongoing process. One of these things is fighting crime. In the past year, we've shut down 5 drug houses in the district, just in that district alone. We've also cleaned up a lot of trash. We've also worked with the chief of police in assigning extra police patrols there during saturation patrols, walking patrols, et cetera. I've also worked with a lot of the residents of some of these areas to help get the trash cleaned up, because blight, trash, crime, they're all kind of go together. You know, when you got a trashy neighborhood, you don't attract the kind of people there that you want to attract. So with some of these individuals, some of them are, neighborhood watch captains. I get calls at least once a week from them giving me a list of addresses. Go look at this. Go look at this. And I do. These people are not nuisances. They are a resource that I have to go after certain areas and get certain things cleaned up, to get CDI on top of certain properties, to get rid of blight. Because when you get rid of blight, when you get rid of trash, it makes it easier to keep crime down. Yeah, there are problems, and there are going to continue to be problems for a while. Can't get it over right away. One of the most disheartening things is somebody tells me there's a drug house down the street, and I work in the conduit between them and the police and try to get something done about it, and a month or two later they say, well, it's still there. What have you done? Well, a lot of times these things take time. They need to get the police need to do their job. They need to get the enough evidence to put the bad actors away. So consequently, there are things. I also like to say I've been working very hard and spiffing up Uptown and the business district. We're working very hard with them. I meet with them every month. And we're trying to reestablish a bid in the uptown area. I got money put into the budget to clean up the infrastructure there somewhat, you know, the lighting fixtures and all that.
Okay, the Business Improvement District is what you're talking about. The bid is Business Improvement District, just for our viewers and listeners. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mikulski. Mr. Flood, why are you running? What would you do for the 3rd District? What problems would you address?
Well, I'm running because, you know, the 3rd District is probably the most diverse district in Kenosha. And as you said, I've lived on both sections of it. I lived in Allendale for a while, and I live now currently near Uptown. I'm running for, you know, like Mr. Mikulski mentioned, safer streets. And the problem I see isn't just a drug house down the street. It's a street of drug houses. I think that picking up trash, yes, absolutely we need to do it. It's a problem that I can walk outside of my house and find 2 needles lying on the ground. We have a heroin epidemic in this city, and we're not going to make our streets safer unless we address that and talk about it openly. We have to address that through measures of treatment. We can't just throw them all in jail. I'm also running to restore trust in our city government. I'm running to bring more opportunity to the people of Kenosha, and I'm running to prioritize our budgeting. I'm not advocating lower taxes. I'm not advocating higher taxes. I'm advocating reprioritizing our funds. But ultimately, I'm running to give people all over the district a voice, because there's many people both in Allendale and the Uptown area who feel they don't have a voice. Many people who don't even realize the city council is doing anything, that the city council is meeting. And I'm running to give those people a voice and to actually be their representative.
We have received many questions about redevelopment in the city of Kenosha and improvement of the business districts. I'd like to ask you, Mr. Flood, what would you do, what would you advocate, what would you vote for to improve the appearance of our business districts and the quality of life in the community?
Thank you. The first thing I would do, I think we need to talk about the Chrysler site and the Brass site. The Brass site has gone undeveloped for way too long for little reason.
Well, wait a second. There has been some development on the Brass site. There's a school there. I shop there. I go to Chinese there. What do you mean?
There's quite a bit that's undeveloped, though, and that has sat there empty for quite some time. The way we develop that is, you know, on the school board, something we do is we come together and we have working sessions. The whole school board will sit down with stakeholders, with experts that come in, and we sit down and we have a working session, and we all figure out what the goal is. And how do we get there? And that's how I would approach development for the Brass site and the Chrysler site, certainly, because I don't see any development coming instantly at the Chrysler site, but we need to come up with a plan. And that's how I would do it. I would sit down. I would call for a working session. We would all sit down. We would come up with something that works for everybody. We would bring in residents on that, and we would really listen to people.
Mr. Mikulski.
We have a plan. The ULI study is a plan. And the problem is, you cannot compel people to invest their hard-earned money in a part of the city you'd like them to invest in. We'd all like to see more people come in and say, let's invest in the Brass area. But you can't compel people to do that. What you can do is give people an opportunity. I'm chairman of the Historic Preservation Commission, and one of the things, this is an example of opportunity, is we had a direct hand in saving the Elks Heritage Clubhouse from the wrecking ball. And we bought enough time so that the city actually found a buyer for it, the Gorman Group, and now there's a likelihood, 95% likelihood, that it will be a boutique hotel downtown, which would be much better than the blighted building that people see all the time. There are a lot of things that we have been doing like that. There are plans. The problem is some people are not patient, and they must learn a little bit of patience. Obviously, some things can be moved forward more quickly. Absolutely, I'm in favor of doing things expeditiously. But at the same time, you can't force people into investing their life savings into a business in an area where they don't really want to do it. So consequently, you give opportunity, you give incentives, but you can't compel them.
I'm going to call on the candidates now for a closing 1 minute or so statement. And since I asked the first question of Jan, we're going to let Kyle make the first closing statement. Mr. Flood.
Thank you. My name is Kyle Flood, and I'm running for the third district alderman. I'm running because You know, I'm running because people are sick of being patient. People are sick of waiting on government to do something. I'm running because people all over the nation, people in our city, are giving up. They're giving up on finding a job. They're giving up on their city government. They're giving up on their leaders, and people need to stop giving up. I'm running to give people a voice. I'm running for safer streets, for more opportunity, better public transportation, criminal justice reform. I'm running to give people a voice that they haven't had. And frankly, we're sick of being patient. We want action, and we want it now, and that's what you get with a vote for me on April 5th.
Thank you. Mr. Mikulski, your closing statement, please.
Thank you. I'm running for alderman in the 3rd District. Obviously, some people want instant gratification. I'm not of that generation. I believe in working toward things to make them happen. Finding a job, while the jobs aren't what they used to be, we don't have jobs like the industrial jobs, but we have jobs like Amazon, Kennel, all that. I had many votes, and as part of the City Plan Commission, I had a direct hand in, you know, helping move that, a lot of that sort of thing forward, jobs. There are a lot of things that aesthetically that the city needs done. Nobody has worked harder than me in preserving some of the older buildings in town, like the Southport Beach House. And, you know, new ideas, that's great. On the other hand, good ideas are better. So new ideas can be fine, but let us find the best ideas and work hard to implement them and not necessarily say, well, this is a new idea. Let's go after that. I'm sorry. You gotta sometimes be patient and do the right thing.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. And now we're going to turn to the next contest. But first, just a moment to observe that in District 6, we don't have the candidates here. Deshaun Jackson didn't respond to our request for invitations. And we did hear from David Paff, who informed us that he is working tonight as a fire lieutenant in the Waukegan Fire Department. He did submit some biographical information, which I'll share with you. The District 6 candidate, David Paff, says he's a full-time career firefighter with the Waukegan Fire Department. He's worked there since 1994, and prior to that, he served in the U.S. Navy for 4 years. He graduated from Southern Illinois University with a B.S. in Fire Science Management, and he's finishing up his first term as District 6 alderperson. But for the next race, we do have both candidates here. And they are Rob Preston and Patrick Giuliana for District 7. And the coin toss was won by Rob Preston, so he will get the first question. Mr. Preston tells me that he was born in Kenosha's 7th District and has lived there his entire life. He is 21 years old and works in autism services as a line therapist and respite caregiver. He has a background in theater. Patrick Giuliana, the incumbent in District 7, was born and raised in Kenosha's 7th District as well. He worked at American Motors out of high school. He owned Patrick Automotive, Inc., a car repair shop, for 48 and a half years before retiring in 2014. He has 3 kids and 3 grandkids, he says, served as 7th District Alderman from 1980 to 84, and then went back, and he's been serving from 2008 to the present. He is currently on the following committees: Water, Stormwater Utility, Licensing and Permits, and Public Works. Our first question for Mr. Preston. Mr. Preston, why are you running? What problems, what concerns do you have that you would address for the benefit of District 7?
Well, I am running for the alderperson position in District 7 because I want to give the people of District 7 a fresh voice. I want to provide them with new ideas, new leadership, and to give them the opportunity to communicate openly with their representative, being me. I am interested in pursuing criminal justice, refining the system of criminal justice so it works with each and every person in the city of Kenosha. I'm interested in rebuilding our infrastructure in our city, which is crippling right now. And I am interested in building the business in our city as well. Another issue for me is communication. I have a background in theater, so I am open to communicating with anybody. I like to have an open relationship with each of the constituents in the district. and I would like to learn from them, learn what the issues that they see are in the district, and present that to the board and communicate with my colleagues on the board to get things done.
Thank you. Mr. Giuliano, the same question. Why are you running for a reelection? What issues in the district, in District 7, would you address in your next term?
The issues in District 7 are very, very unique to what happens throughout the rest of the city. We have crime, blight, deterioration, and since 2008, actually the records reflect from 2007 until today, we've had a 27% reduction in overall calls for police service. And that was through the due diligence of myself and working with the constituency to bring forth their concerns to law enforcement. Prior to my election in 2008, a lot of the constituency problems were never heard because the constituents were afraid to come forward because of retribution. So I made it known to the constituents within the 7th District to call me, and I would be the complainant. Once that became known, the calls went up, and the reduction in overall calls for crime over the past 9 years have went down 27%. When you look at housing, and this is where a lot of the blight and deterioration comes from, the 7th District, when I said it's unique, we have approximately 72% unowner-occupied, 24% owner-occupied. And I think it was back in July of 2010, we had a town hall meeting. We had a lot of constituents show up and voice their concerns and what they wanted to see done. Well, what came out of that meeting was bad landlords. And I've been running to address that problem. And throughout the last 7 years, actually, we've researched quite a few of the municipalities south of us, which is Illinois, and throughout so many municipalities within Wisconsin that had landlord licensing programs. Calls for crime, blight, and deterioration had went down. But last year, Wausau and La Crosse were being sued by some landlord groups. And in the process, the state of Wisconsin did some changes to the state constitution, which inevitably took away home rule. So I'm looking, you know, for the reelection. Hopefully I prevail, to go to the state and work and bring home rule back down to the municipalities. Because every municipality has problems that are unique to their specific area. We need that to move forward.
We've had so many questions about taxes and debt. What's your philosophy of bonding and going into debt in order to accomplish worthwhile projects for the community? Mr. Giuliano.
Well, you know, when you look at it, overall, the shared revenue that we get back from the state has dropped, from the federal government has dropped. Overall state equalized value has dropped. So when you're talking about bonding, I'm not opposed to bonding. What I am opposed to is bonding to the point it puts us into financial jeopardy with our overall bond rating. You have to look at what projects are needed. They have to be prioritized, and then you have to move forward accordingly. You just can't haphazardly just say we're going to bond, going to bond, going to bond, and you're going to expend dollars, and you're not going to have the financial wherewithal to get that money back.
Mr. Preston.
Well, I would look into all the specifics of the investments, and I would look over all that and see it, and you'd have to get the opinion of the constituents, because I think that that's very important, and kind of just take everything overview and make a decision from there.
With respect to quality of life issues such as the arts, youth sports, and programs at the playgrounds in the summer, issues like that, and public transportation, where do you stand? What would you do and advocate for the benefit of your district, Mr. Preston?
Well, our district doesn't really have a huge arts scene as it is right now, or too many things going on outside of the local businesses that reside there. I would encourage new businesses to come in and use some of the vacant facilities that are in our district currently. I would encourage current businesses to maybe allow other activities to take place in their spaces when they're not using it, and that's how I would go about it.
Mr. Giuliano, how would you address those concerns?
Well, in the 7th District, we had Columbus Park, which at one time was actually one of the better parks within the city. They had a lot of things for the younger children.
I remember that.
You remember that? Yeah, we're from the same neighborhood. You know, I remember the ice skating rinks we had over there. And unfortunately, I had to take a stand that my predecessor took to remove a lot of the recreational equipment from the park because of some gang and drug activity and the dangerous position that some of the younger children were being put into because of the so-called negative impact of some of the bad people. But with that being said, I mean, I think that's still going to be an issue today, which we did run into at Lincoln Park a few months back, and they did get a handle on that. But when you look at it, Boys and Girls Club, they have a lot of programs that are very, very positive programs for a lot of the young people. The school system, they have a lot of after-school programs for a lot of the young people. I would be a proponent to look at working with the Boys and Girls Club, working with Kenosha Unified to try and expand them programs and to maybe go to the city, parks, and look and see what we could come up with financially to expand some of the programs.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to ask you both now for your closing statements, and we're going to start with Mr. Giuliano. 1 minute, please. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. In closing, as I stated during our question and answer period, I'm looking to keep addressing the issue of crime, blight, deterioration, and the bad landlord situation that we do have within the district. I've been working with some developers or talking with some developers and working through city departments on repurposing the old Vincent McCall building on 56th and 22nd. I also received a phone call yesterday from a gentleman from Illinois and a call from some people in Milwaukee on repurposing the Bain School property. And then also, last April, we met with Uline. A couple of months prior to April, I did meet with the constituents. We ended up getting a bunch of input from them. We took it to Uline, and we ended up getting about 75% of what we have, but we can't really start moving forward on that until maybe 5 years down the road because of site remediation, which is going to take a long time to get cleaned up.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Preston.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you for having me here today. This is my first debate, so I'm not as polished as others here. I would like to thank Patrick for his service to our city for the past 8 years. But what you're going to get with me is not going to be perfection. I'm not going to be this perfect leader. I'm going to represent a voice that has not been represented on city council for a while, and that is the youth voice. It was spoken about earlier in our mayoral debate. That young people are leaving the city, and they are. And if we want to try to avoid that, maybe we should listen to them, whether that means you elect me as a candidate or whether that means, you know, you just listen to the young people. That's up to the people of Kenosha. What you're going to get with me is a refined criminal justice system. You're going to get open communication with your leader. You're going to get caring leadership and something done with the Chrysler land.
Thank you very much. And we're going to move on now to our next race, which is District 8. And we have with us the incumbent, Kurt Wicklund, and his challenger, Kevin Mathewson. Kurt Wicklund won the coin toss, so he'll get the first question. Kurt tells me he is a 56-year-old Waukegan native who is now in his 24th year as a Kenosha homeowner. He has a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering from the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana. He cites a wide variety of life experience as his strongest preparation for the role of alderman. He's worked with people from around the world in R&D, research and development, and in engineering. He also says he knows what it's like to work for low pay and no benefits. His most profound experience was the 8-year period he spent caring for his invalid mother in the last stages of her life. His challenger is Kevin Mathewson, a resident of Kenosha's 8th District for 10 years, he tells me, married for 7 years to Nikki and has two children, a son Sam and a daughter Grace. He's the owner and operator of Optic Light Photography, LLC, and has been for the past 7 years. I'm going to begin then by asking Mr. Wicklund, why are you running for re-election, Mr. Wicklund, and what would you intend to do in your next term of office? What issues of the District 8 would you address?
Thank you for having us. I originally ran for office because you get asked that a lot, and there's a wide variety of reasons. But what it boils down to is I don't have children, and this is how most people pass their knowledge, their experiences, and their values down to the next generation. I decided that way I could impart what I've learned, good or bad as it may be, is to work for my community in the public office and leave my community just a little bit better when it's time for me to depart. Now, why am I running for a second term and why what I intend to do with it? The first term, you spend most of the time learning. It's a very steep learning curve, and no one's really expecting you to drive policy. But in the second term, it's time to step it up, and I'm now in position to do so. I have two clear focuses for the next term. I'll mention the second one first because it's the most difficult, and it's one that will be very difficult to solve, and it certainly won't be done in the space of time I'm in office, and that is anti-blight efforts and combating against negligent landlords. It's a huge problem. We've got an old housing stock. If you let the housing stock decay, it just becomes a vicious circle.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mathewson.
Thank you.
Why are you running? Why are you challenging Mr. Wicklund? And what would you do to solve any issues that you see in District 8?
I'm running for alderman of the 8th District because I love the community very much. Like you pointed out, I have two young children, and I want them to be able to ride their bikes in the neighborhood so that we as parents can feel safe about that. Unlike my opponent, in the first 2 years, I got a lot of stuff done. I authored several resolutions, several ordinance changes. I think the time for learning is before you run for office. So I learned how things work before that, and I got right into work on my first 2 terms. I think I had a lot of accomplishments, and I want to listen to the people. I think our district's being unrepresented. One of the hot ticket items is the streetcar. 7,000 people signed a petition and told the alderman, hey, if you don't expand it, at least put it on a ballot. My opponent voted for it. He voted for it when it went up by $5 million, thanks to We Energies, and he voted against the referendum. When a politician tells you, I don't want to hear your opinion, I know it's better for you more than you do, it's time to throw them out, and let's get somebody in there that is going to listen to you and take what you learn from listening and use that in your decision-making on council.
Mr. Wicklund, would you like to respond regarding the streetcar?
Well, there's no secret that I supported the streetcar. In fact, I believe I featured very prominently in a Steve Lund editorial before the election. I won that election. That is the number one referendum on whether you're approved of by the voters. I did not vote for the streetcar if it went up by $5 million. No one in the city of Kenosha voted for the streetcar if it went up by $5 million. When we got a bill from W Energies, we passed a resolution to take that money out of the streetcar and assign it to other needs. One of those needs being the repair of 7th Avenue between Library Park and 56th Street, which is about 25% of the length of the streetcar loop as we voted for it, and that consumed about 40% of the money. So why did I support the streetcar? Because we would have gotten more street repairs out of doing the streetcar project than we are with our own tax money alone, and the federal money would have put in rails. But the streetcar is not an 8th district issue. It's a 2nd district issue. It's resolved. It's not going to come back. What I'm going to do is focus on roads, and I'm going to announce that next week I intend to publish my initiative called Residential Roads 2017. The objective here is to advance the spending on residential roads. As one of my constituents said, I've been living in this house for 25 years. In that time, the city inspection department has come by twice and demanded that I put improvements into my house. Not once has the city improved the road in front of my house. Now we're going to ask them to wait 5 or 10 more years before that road's been fixed? I don't think so. And the capper to the residential roads 2017 is this. It is time for Kenosha to get out of the gravel alley business. It's the 21st century. This is an easy, low-hanging fruit, a way that we can invest in the old districts, spruce up the old districts by getting rid of these ugly gravel alleys that attract trash disposal, to attract crime, and are just plain old unsightly. Blight abatement is a long-term problem. It's going to take generations. Fixing our side streets is going to be a long-term project, but we can start with the low-hanging fruit, and that's start getting out rid of these gravel alleys that predominate in District 8. District 8 is the number one alley district in the city of Kenosha.
Mr. Mathewson?
As far as alleys go, I think the priorities, and the people think the priorities on the side streets and the roads. Maybe we can look at fixing the alleys at a later time. In my tenure, I got a couple alleys closed. I know that there was one during my opponent's tenure that he couldn't quite get closed. Closing the alleys is usually good for everybody involved. Less city resources have to go there. My opponent talks about blight. He's right. We need to make sure we're getting on top of these landlords and people that are not taking care of their property. And we have to lead by example. My opponent, and it's all public record, has 5 active violations on his house that he's had for almost a year, and he's using his authority to get out of paying fines. When he's going after seniors and families to get their things paid, he's got violations that they're telling the inspectors. He's an alderman. We can't enforce them. He should pay his fines.
Wait a second. I'd like to hear a response from Mr. Wicklund on that.
I think we moved back in time about an hour and a half to the mayoral debate here. I do have some dings on my house from the inspection. It went through my area of the neighborhood. I'm not using my authority as alderman to get out of it, as any citizen can. You work with the inspection department to address these issues as you can afford them, and it's not been a year. There's just a whole bunch of nonsense here. Yeah, there was a party did ask to vacate an alley in their district. However, not everyone in that end of that alley agreed with it. So did I use the power of the city to force that alley be closed? No. The folks that I spoke with them just about a month ago, and they're going to attempt another vacating alley. And here's this. If we set up a funded program to work on alleys, we can get over those humps, because some of these alleys to be vacated aren't going to be done unless the city ponies up some money to either do regrading in the case of this alley, which there's a steep hill slope which made most of that alleyway unusable, unless we were to go in there with a grader and some dirt fill to make it usable. So,
Mr. Mathewson, any response?
Like I said, everything's public record. The city has a great website where you can look up code violations, things like that, permits. You can see which permits are issued, what code violations are happen. But I think when you're the alderman, people look at your house on the block. They want to see your house among the top. These vacant
or playful
properties take property value down. We need to get away from that.
I'm going to ask for closing statements now from each of you. Since we asked the first question of Mr. Wicklund, we're going to ask Mr. Mathewson to make the first closing statement. Mr. Mathewson.
Thanks for having us, Len. I want to be the alderman for the 8th District because I want to listen to you. It's great that my opponent has a once-a-month breakfast club meeting, but I was available every day via email, social media, phone calls, personal visits. I think we need to make ourselves available every day, not just once a month. And not only do we need to listen, but we need to take what we're told and asked by the residents, and we need to do something with us. When they give us 7,000 petitions to stack this high and say don't vote for the streetcar, we need to listen to them. I will vote for your special interest, you, not my special interest or my personal goals and ambitions. It's not my district when I'm elected. It's everybody's district. Thank you.
Thank you. Your closing statement, Mr. Wicklund?
Thank you. I'm running a positive campaign based on an outstanding first term. I've served on 6 different commissions with a 99% attendance record. This wide experience has taught me a great deal. I treat the professional staff with respect, and I've earned theirs in return. I've never had a problem getting help. I made considerable efforts to stay in touch with the district. I fielded hundreds of requests. I've held meetings at Andy's every single month. I distribute newsletters door-to-door when it's possible. I promised road repair last year as my number one goal, and I delivered. The Residential Roads 2017 initiative will build upon this pressing concern. 2 years ago, I promised to focus on the fundamentals. I delivered. I don't try to get my name in the paper. I just do what needs being done to get the job done. I am proud to have played my part in the Common Council's improving professionalism. I urge everyone listening here to seek out the opinions of friends and family. Word of mouth is the gold standard in local elections. I'm convinced the more people you talk to, the more likely you'll vote for Kurt Wicklund on April 5th.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. And now we're going to move on to our next contest. And we have here from District 11, Scott Gordon and Dino Marchesini. Did I get that right?
Absolutely.
Good. The coin toss was won by Dino Marchesini, and so he'll get the first question. Mr. Marchesini tells me he is 57 years old, married for 35 years to Janice. He graduated from Bradford in 77. He attended Gateway and has a certificate in building trades blueprint reading. He also attended for HVAC service. He was on the dean's list in 05. For 8 years, he was a COIT-appointed special advocate for children. He has been captain of his neighborhood watch for 10 years. He spearheaded the fight against the two gang houses in the area, he tells me. In 2012, he founded an organization called Community Awareness of McKinley Proposals. This was to advocate for a good replacement for McKinley School. The incumbent is Scott Gordon. Mr. Gordon tells me that not only is he the incumbent of the 11th District from 2012 to the present, he is on many city committees. He's the chair of the City of Kenosha Parks Commission. He's vice chair of the Kenosha City Plan Commission and vice chair of the Stormwater Utility Committee. He's an automatic representative of the Mayor's Youth Commission, or to the Mayor's Youth Commission. He's a member of the Board of Water Commissioners, Kenosha Public Safety and Welfare Committee, Public Works Committee, and he's the author of the Kenosha Hometown Heroes Committee, he tells me. He also says he was co-chair for 2012 through 15 of the Kenosha Dream Playground Project and currently serves as state treasurer for the Wisconsin State Moose Association, trustee for the local lodge, and is a volunteer for the St. Joseph Catholic Academy Athletic Department. Mr. Marchesini, why are you running for alderman of District 11, and what issues would you purport to address and solve for the benefit of the District 11 folks?
Well, I became interested in running for alderman of the 11th District back in 2008 when we started having all the gang problems. There was a gang house 2 doors away from me on 33rd Avenue and then a gang house on 32nd Avenue, which was always referred to as the Rodriguez House. We fought very hard to get the nuisance ordinance passed in 2010, and then we had that nuisance ordinance acted on the Rodriguez House, and the courts decided to board it up and have it vacated. And at the time, then Alderman Anthony Nudo and Alderman Anthony Kennedy worked, along with me and other people from the police department, we worked very hard to clean our neighborhoods up, and they're back to good old neighborhoods. And for the last 4 years, we haven't been represented, and the people are very disenfranchised with our district. They want another voice, and I could give them that voice.
Mr. Gordon.
Yes, sir.
The same question. Why are you running for re-election? What would you propose to do for the benefit of your district in the next term? What issues do you think need to be addressed, sir?
Well, I'm seeking my third term as the alderman of the 11th District to continue to providing a quality representative down at City Hall. It's been a great run so far, but yet there's still work to do. I will be continuing to advocate for the safety and the public safety of our community, just not only our district. My constant support of police and fire, every vote in the affirmative, whether it's new equipment, whether it's additional manpower, I have supported the police and fire 100% for 4 years. Have never voted in the negative for anything for firefighters, anything for police officers. And I plan to keep that course moving forward to make our city a better place to live, work, and play.
Thank you. Specifically, there are quality of life issues in every district. What quality of life issues would you propose to work on in enhancing in the immediate future, Mr. Gordon?
Well, our district is unique. With the eastern end of the district, the old, by the Chrysler site, older houses, many that are not owner-occupied, they are rented out. And to stay on top of those, just today I received an anonymous letter from a citizen about a house on 33rd Avenue, and I assure this person who didn't want to give their name that tomorrow I will go look at this house and turn forward the reports that are needed. You got to stay on top of the areas, and I will continue to do that. If there's a call from a constituent, the call gets answered. The calls get made down to City Hall because a lot of times constituents don't want to give their names, and I understand that and respect that. So I would gladly move forward with their complaints and answer any questions I can. On the western end of the district, it's a little different. It's a there's apartments up there, new and old. So you continue to work in that area with our community development inspections department to make sure that everything is kept up to code to try to make it as a good of a quality of life as possible.
Thank you. Mr. Marchesini.
Yes, it's interesting that he comes up with an anonymous letter on 33rd Avenue at election time like usual.
I can show you the envelope he came in, Mr. Marchesini. I have no problem with that.
Please.
I have no problem with that.
He gets this letter, and all of a sudden he's going to take care of it. But in the last 4 years, he constantly tells us that our area does not matter to the city of Kenosha any longer. Those are his exact words to our neighborhood watch group. So he can sit here and use his BS degree from the Bob Johnson School of Campaigning to try and buffalo you people about what he does for our district. But I'm here to tell you, he has done nothing in the 11th District in the 4 years that he's been our alderman.
Well, Mr. Gordon, what's your response to that?
Well, I think we know now why Mr. Marchesini is 0 for 3 in elections. You know, you can ask anybody that in my district, from Mrs. Chiappetta on down who live in that district, if there's a call or concern made, the calls are answered. The calls are responded. Mr. Marchesini is obviously grasping at straws here. He runs a completely negative campaign on his Facebook account. Had a laugh. Today he put up that I voted for $1 million fire department administration building, a $500,000 walkway, and Simmons Island, a $100,000 bridge at Anderson Park. Only one problem. All those votes were made in 2011 before I became elected. And I have the information here, when the dates were, who voted against them. So if you're going to put stuff up, you really need to do a fact check. And unfortunately, Mr. Marchesini is just grasping at straws here in a desperate attempt to try to unseat me.
Mr. Marchesini, is that a fact that these votes couldn't have been made by Mr. Gordon because he wasn't around in the chamber at the time?
The walkway was built 2 years ago. The fire department administration building was built in the last couple of years. He's been alderman for 4 years. These projects didn't come up 6 years ago. They came up in the last few years.
But did he vote for them?
He
I think that was the
them.
Issue, wasn't it?
He didn't vote against them.
Yeah, he says I voted for him.
He's alderman of the district.
I'd like to respond
they
to this,
Len,
if possible.
Well, it should be a matter of public record.
It is public record, and here's the email from our city finance director. 2000, the vote on the fire administration building, you know, was voted back in 2011. The vote on the Anderson Fishing Park, which gives an accessible component to Anderson Park, and if you want to rail against people with special needs and accessibility, be my guest, all right? That was done back in 2011. I voted against a $58,000 grant at Simmons Island in 2014. You're right there from Game Time Playgrounds because there was no accessible play equipment used. So you're right. I voted against that.
Well, we'll look forward and seeing you. Maybe you can post those on your website so the public can see them.
You know what, Len? I'm not going to respond to Mr. Marchesini's trash that he's putting up on his reelect Facebook page that'll get his customary 4 likes on. Okay. There's no need to. I'll take it to the citizens of my district. Thank you.
All right, we'll ask for closing statements from both of these gentlemen then. And since we asked the first question of Mr. Marchesini, the first closing statement will go to Mr. Gordon.
Thanks, Len. Ladies and gentlemen who are watching this, it's very clear what you have here. You have, once again, a candidate who will do anything or just put anything out there in order to try to get elected. Make no bones about it. I will continue to represent you in the quality that you have. Mr. Marchesini's letter he sent out today says he's an ordinary guy, and I guess he is an ordinary guy, and I respect that. But our citizens deserve extraordinary people at City Hall and those that will stand up and fight for them and not listen to rhetoric and get things done. I have a proven track record of getting things done. I will continue to get things done from Kennedy Drive to Southport Beach House. I will continue to move forward as the representative of the 11th District and serving on 7 committees more than any member of the City Council. I will continue to do the best I can do to make Kenosha a better place to live, work, and play.
Thank you. And your closing statement, please, Mr. Marchesini.
Yes, well, Alderman Gordon insisted I run a negative campaign when all I've ever posted were things about the issues about money. All those things that I listed about the $500,000 for the walkway and things like that, those can all funds could have been diverted. Those are wish list things. Those funds could have been used towards police personnel or fire personnel or other things. Those are wish list things. I've never lied about anything. Mr. Gordon has never told the truth about me in the last 4 years, and I can prove everything. I've challenged him at my expense to do public polygraph tests, and he's afraid to even respond to my requests. So that is what you get from him. With me, you'll get honesty, and you won't get bullying or intimidation on the campaign trail.
Thank you very much. And now we're going to move on to our next contest. And we have both candidates here, and that was unexpected, so we're not quite prepared with an introduction for each one of them. Let me check the pronunciation of your name. It's Mr. Christopher Belyaev.
Belyaev.
Belyaev. Mr. Christopher Belyaev and Mr. Mitchell Peterson.
Peterson.
Is
yes.
You pronounce it Peterson. Okay. I'm very, very sorry we didn't get a chance to talk ahead of the meeting. I don't have a biographical sketch of you, so I'm going to ask you to provide a 20-second one.
Sure.
After I finish Mr. Belyaev's?
Belyaev's.
I need to memorize your name.
Don't worry about it. I like hearing the different variations.
Mr. Belyaev. Well, I don't like hearing variations of my name much. Mr. Belyaev has lived in Kenosha for over 22 years, 20 of those as a resident of the 12th district in which he is presently running. Chris resides with his wife and two daughters and is the director of audiovisual at the Wisconsin Center District. He has spent his professional career as a business manager overseeing multimillion-dollar accounts. A significant part of that, he tells me, involves working with multiple parties with conflicting interests to create understanding and win-win outcomes. Locally, he's been involved in community activities. Chris says he's been volunteering with the Girl Scouts with respect to natural resources. He's a co-founding member of the Pike River Revival, was a local judge at the 2016 Miss Kenosha Scholarship Pageant. He says he has the endorsement of the AFL-CIO and the UAW CAP Council. Could you give us a quick biographical sketch of yourself in a half a minute, Mitchell?
Yes, I can.
Peterson?
My name is Mitchell Peterson. I am a fourth generation born and raised Kenoshan. I currently work for my family's business, Mitchell Carpets, which is just outside the 12th District. I am a general manager there, and I do just a little bit of everything. I grew up in the 12th District and moved out for a short period of time, and now I am back in the 12th District. I went to Southport Elementary School all 6 years, which is right in the middle of the 12th District.
Thank you. All right, we'll go to the first question here, and since there was no coin toss, I'm just going to start with Mr. Belyaev. The question is, as has been in the earlier part of the program, why are you running for alderperson of the 12th District, and what do you hope to accomplish for the benefit of those citizens?
I'm running for alderman of the 12th District because I would like to bring a voice of reason to our common council in the city. I believe that we're having some issues seeing everybody work together to meet the common interests of our neighbors. I've heard a lot of people talk about how Kenosha's great, diversified, their district is great and diversified. The whole city is a great diversified place. There's a lot of diversity here. There's a lot of people that we need to work towards bringing together. I would like to help in that aspect, and I would like to be a voice of reason on the Common Council and help get people to work together and try to cut out on some of the mudslinging that's going on and, frankly, some of the immaturity that I hear.
Thank you. Mr. Peterson.
I'm running for alderman because, like I said, I'm a fourth-generation Kenoshan. My family owns a business, my grandparents own a business, and so do my great-grandparents. So I feel like this is a way I can give back to the community that has given my family so much. I'm running because I hear a lot of the citizens are not heard at City Council. The Southport Peach House is a major issue in the 12th District. And I feel bad for them, too, because they've done everything necessary to get that done. They have formed committees. They have held meetings. They have spoken at City Council. They've been in contact with our current aldermen and our current administration, and nothing is getting done. They're kicking the can down the road. They are creating other projects that they do not want there and wasting money while the Southport Beach House is crumbling before our eyes. and I plan to get that done as soon as possible. I have heard their concerns, I've heard their ideas, and I want to move forward.
Mr. Belayev, what's your stand on the Southport Beach House? What would you suggest in moving that forward?
I couldn't agree with what Mitch is saying more. I grew up in that neighborhood. I've lived in the 12th District for a long time. I grew up playing at the beach over by the Southport Beach House, playing down at the dunes. I've watched the building slip into disrepair over the years. I bring my family there now, and I look around, and, you know, it's sad to see what it's become. So I would also completely agree with what Mitch is saying. I've talked with Yamakansky about some of the ideas that have been going on since he is on the Historic Preservation Society, and I look forward to hearing more, and I look forward to hearing all of my neighbors' ideas on what we could do to try to help raise the money and figure out ways that we could restore it to what it should be.
Are there other issues in your district that should be addressed that are quality of life issues, whether it be roads, the arts, public transportation,
Absolutely.
Youth activities, sports, playground activities in the summer?
Absolutely. I believe that we, you know, as I'm out knocking on doors and talking to my neighbors, I hear a lot about the disrepair of the roads and potholes that have been existing in front of their houses for years that they would like to see taken care of. I have neighbors that are telling me about drug houses that are down the streets that nothing seems to be done about. You know, me myself having two girls growing up in the neighborhood. You know, when I was a kid, I was able to ride my bike 10 miles down the street and go to a park and play, and I don't like letting my kids go, you know, two blocks away without me being watching them. So I think that there's a lot of things that could be addressed with that.
Mr. Peterson, what do you think about quality of life issues in the district? What needs to be done to make it a better place to live?
For the most part, the quality of life is actually pretty good in our district, and we're pretty thankful for that. The roads do need repairs. It is always a major issue, not only in the 12th District, but the city of Kenosha. One of the main concerns we recently had was in the Lincoln Park neighborhood. Over the summer, there was quite a bit of violence, especially on the basketball courts. And I think our city council and police department did a pretty good job cutting down on that violence right away. They closed the basketball hoops, they closed down the court, and said, hey, we're here, we want a safe neighborhood, we are paying attention. And with that, when they reopened the basketball courts, they also had a community event. And I think that's really key to making a good neighborhood, is making good contacts with the citizens in the district and make sure that we all work together to make sure our parks are safe and our community is safe.
Some observers say that we should never use the term bonding because people don't realize that that means you're taking out a loan or a mortgage on the future. How do you feel about bonding for projects in the future? Do you see the need for bonding? And is it good or is it bad in general, or does it depend on the situation?
I think some of the bonding has been beneficial to the city of Kenosha. In the recent case, we're able to create jobs with that. And when you create jobs, it creates a better city. We're able to pay more taxes as a citizen. We're able to do more projects in the city. People are able to take care of homes and buy homes. And I support that. We need more living wage jobs in Kenosha. It's beneficial to not only the 12th District, but everyone in Kenosha.
Mr. Belayev, same topic.
I believe that bonding can be good in moderation. I think that we need to look more towards our own citizens to decide and come up with ways that we can find the resources to take care of our community.
With respect to the way the city operates, do you feel that there are any changes that need to be made in how we contract for services, whether it be for information technology or consulting services, where we don't have expertise? Mr. Peterson?
I think for the most part, we have a great police and fire department, and I don't think that should be privatized by any means. For our roads, I believe for the most part, we're doing a good job contracting them. I do think we need to plan ahead more, focus more on long-term, 1 year, 3 years, 5 years. We recently had a problem on 104th Avenue, where the road was in disrepair. They even had signs up where told you could not go over 15 miles per hour, and I don't think anyone could.
No, you couldn't. I can vouch for that.
Yes. It was in very poor condition. So I feel like we need to do more planning ahead, and the more we plan, the more money that we can save on these projects. They need to be done, so we need to be smart with our money and not waste it.
Thank you. I'm going to call on both gentlemen now for their closing statements. I think we started with Mr. Vilaf, so we're going to ask for your one-minute closing statement, Mr. Peterson.
Sure. As a fourth-generation Kenoshan and a son of a small business owner, I'm going to look to fight for the small businesses in Kenosha. Not only do they provide many jobs to our citizens, but they also donate to many good causes and projects in our city. I will also work very hard to support the Southport Beach House. I volunteered to be appointed to the city committee for the Southport Beach House. I've spoken at city council meetings, and I've also attended meetings at the Southport Beach House. I am very dedicated to that, and that is my number one priority, is to get that fixed. I ask for your vote on April 5th. Thank you.
Thank you. And your statement, please, Mr. Vilaf.
I intend to carry on and listen to what my neighbors have to say about what they want to see done in the community. Not only my neighbors, but our public service workers, who I've had a great opportunity to speak with recently and find out what the shortcomings that they are facing with their jobs of keeping our community safe. I believe that they need a strong voice to represent them, to make sure that they have the tools that they need to help protect our neighborhoods, to make sure that the crime issues that we're seeing in Lincoln Park and other things like that, I don't think necessarily shutting a park down is the right answer. I think that we should look towards making sure we have the kind of protection that we need in these neighborhoods, so we don't have to shut down these types of community places that should be an outlet that help people stay out of trouble and not where people are getting in trouble. I'm just excited to be here, and I'm very happy to have this opportunity, and I plan on being an honest voice that is going to listen to all of my neighbors and represent you fairly on the Common Council.
Thank you very much.
That's why I'm running for Alderman.
And this concludes our section on the Kenosha City Council. Thanks to all of our candidates for being with us. We appreciate it.